Lest everyone humble their hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace. Father Yahweh, we come before you at this time, seeking your face and seeking a blessing from you. We thank you, Father, for this day and for the opportunity to take time out to give glory to your holy name and to worship you. Father, we know that we have but a short time before Yahshua is going to return. We ask, Father, that you would prepare people, 144,000, those that are called the blessed of Yahweh, the elect, the saints, those that have drawn themselves to you, Father, in keeping the covenant law. We know, Father, that there is a separation between the holy and the common, the clean and the unclean. We ask, Father, that you would touch our hearts and cause each one of us to be drawn to you and to cling to you, Father, as Ruth clung to Naomi. We have to, Father, not only seek your faith, but love the appearing of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, who is soon coming to this earth. So, Father, as we do our best to draw closer to you, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds to not only receive the implanted word that we're about to hear today, but, Father, that you would continually bless each and every one of your servants and touch their hearts and their minds and their lives. And show them how special they are, Father, because you've created each one of us for your honor and glory. Not for our own, but for your honor and glory. And it's in Yahshua's name, Father, that we come before you at this time, seeking your faith. We thank you for the great sacrifice of Yahshua's shed blood and giving his life that he would be a ransom for the many. So help us, Father, to be faithful and not set underfoot the blood of Yahshua the Messiah, but to be honorable and to be faithful in all things. In Yahshua's holy name we pray. Hallelujah. I've entitled this message, The Proper Perspective. 144,000 have the proper perspective. The love of Yahweh has given us the proper perspective on life. Without the commandments as the basis of our perspective, we would be led in the wrong direction, as most people are. The 144,000 love the law of Yahweh, and they are obedient to the shepherd, Yahshua the Messiah. Most of the world is emotionally invested in their position or their brand of religion. In Islam, you have a division between the Sunnis and the Shiites. And, of course, you know, you have the same thing with the Jews and the Christians. So the three major religions are very divided. But religion in itself is very divisive. The true worship is unifying in the name of Yahshua. Our first scripture is going to come from Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14, we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "And I saw and behold, the Lamb standing on the mount, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And the voice I heard was the voice of harpers harping with their hearts. And they sing, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no man could learn the song except the 144,000, even they that had been purchased out of the earth. These are they that were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they that follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were purchased from among men to be the first fruits to Yahweh and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no lie, they are without blemish. The saint is another name for the 144,000. Last week I covered the seed of the blessed, because the children of the 144,000 and their grandchildren are the seed of the blessed. They're going to be going into that thousand-year millennium. They're going into the kingdom. See, the Bible teaches that there's going to be a thousand-year period where there's no earth. There is no, you know, destruction. But there'll still be human beings. Those human beings are going to be made up of the children that are left on this planet after the tribulation. And in the tribulation, two-thirds of the world's population will perish. They're going to die. But that third that's left is going to be the young people under the age of accountability. The age of accountability is 20 years old. So these kids that are going into this kingdom are going to have to be taught. They're going to be taught by the 144,000, the priests and kings that come through this earth, who have embraced the Lamb of Yahweh, who are following Yahshua the Messiah, who was the first of the first fruits. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to turn over there. But before we go over to 4, I want to look at one other scripture in Revelation 14. Verse 12, it says, "Here is the patience of the saints, they that keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yahshua the Messiah." So that's a description of the 144,000. They have the patience, they're the saints, and they keep the commandments of Yahweh. The 144,000 is unified in one body. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. That's Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 1. "I therefore, the prisoner in Yahweh, beseech you that you walk worthily of the calling with which you were called." For all of us have received the calling from Yahweh. The question is, are we listening? Are we responding to that call? See, you've heard the term, and I've heard this a lot, many are called and few are chosen. Okay? But we do the choosing. See, Yahweh's call. He put out the call for all of us to come. We do the choosing. And we choose by following the commandments, by having the proper perspective. See, when you have that proper perspective, you can see things that the average person can't see. And it's right there in front of them. I was teaching on the flight out to San Antonio. There was a young lady sitting next to me. And I asked her the question about how many animals Noah took on the ark of each. So nobody can tell you exactly the amount because there's so many species. But she said two. Male and female. I said, look at the scripture a little closer. I said, because actually there's a separation between the clean and the unclean. It was seven and seven of the clean. Only two of the unclean. She said, well, why is it such a difference? I said, because Yahweh makes a difference between the clean and the unclean. We eat the clean animals. They ate those. Plus they sacrificed. And it's the only sacrifice to clean animals. See? So there is a difference. And this is in the Word. It's there. But most people don't see it. It's like a scotoma or a blockage. Yet it's right there in front of you when you look at it. As I said, the 144,000 are unified in the one body. Because it says here in verse 2, "With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love." And that's the key. That's the key ingredient. Because without love, I don't care who you are or what religion you belong to. You don't know Yahweh. When people say, you know, I have a problem with this person over here, they don't know Yahweh. Because if you can't love your brother who you see, you don't know your name. That's what the scripture teaches. That's what it says. Giving the diligence to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, even as you were also called into one hope of your calling. One master, one faith, one baptism, and one El and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us was the grace given according to the measure of the gift of the Messiah. And that gift that is given is Yahweh's Holy Spirit. But the Spirit is only given to them that obey. Acts 5:32. It says that in word. Now, there's another scripture I have here that says if you were baptized in any other, you do not have Yahweh's Holy Spirit, based on Acts 5:32. But Acts 4:10-12 says there's but one name under heaven by which men shall be saved. And that's why it's important for us to know that name. No J's in Hebrew. J is an English letter. Wasn't invented till the 15th century, brother. The 15th century. The Messiah's name never could have been Jesus because there are no J's in Hebrew. The city is Jerusalem. All the J's you see in the book should have been a Y. Okay? The name of the Savior is the same as the general that took over for Moses. And that book is not Joshua, but Yahshua. It means Yahweh is salvation. Now, if Yahweh is the mighty one of Israel, he's the living now. Shouldn't he be our mighty one? Absolutely. And the reason I'm saying this is because it says here, there is one El and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And for us to be his servant, we have to be willing to accept that call and follow that call into the kingdom. The 144,000 have the proper perspective because they see the things that Yahweh is directing them to see. I'm going to give you another example. Turn over to John chapter 4. Very, very common passage. We deal with them a lot, at least I do, because I'm constantly teaching on this subject. In verse 19, it says in John chapter 4, he's talking to the Samaritan woman. Okay? Now, Samaria was the capital of the 10 northern tribes of Israel that went into captivity and never returned. And what the Assyrians did is they took the people from these cities and transported them into the land of Israel, placed them in the city of Samaria. That was the capital. But they were in all the cities of the 10 northern tribes in Israel. In verse 19, he says, well, the woman says to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshiped in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men are to worship. Yahshua says to her, woman, believe me, the hour comes when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you know not. He's telling her, you don't even know who you worship or what you worship. We know. We worship that which we know. But salvation is from the Jews. And this term here is Yehuda in Hebrew. Okay? It's from, I'll give you the rest of Genesis 29, verse 35. One of the 12 tribes. And this is Leah. Verse 35, she says, she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, this time will I praise Yahweh. Therefore, she called his name Yehuda. and she left off there. See, so she was glad that she had this son. She was competing with her sister for her husband's affection. And what happened is that when she had this child, she was so happy. She said, "This time will I praise Yahweh." He inhabits the praises of Israel. This is why we praise him by his name. It's very important to understand the importance of Yahweh's name. The woman at the well represents the Gentile and pagan worship. Okay? Mary. And I said, I explained to you about Yehuda, I will praise Yah. The 144,000 know who they worship, but the physical Jews of today do not worship Yahweh. If you say anything to a Jew today about Yahweh, they don't want to hear it. Matter of fact, I did it in Towson when I was working selling real estate there, and the owner of the deli started to rip his clothes. He got really upset because I was using Yahweh's name. "Oh, you can't do that. You can't use the..." He called it the ineffable name. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what Yahshua taught. And I'll show you that later. The Muslims do not worship Yahweh either. And neither do the Christians. You must worship Yahweh to have the proper perspective. And the reason I say this, the Muslims use the term Allah, which is just a perversion of the Hebrew term Eloah, which is singular for Elohim, which means mighty one. That's all. Allah is actually not a proper name. It's a title or a term that means mighty one. That's all. And I can go into the many other names, but we're not going to do that in this message. This message is about the proper perspective. Back to John chapter 4. He says, "For salvation is from the worshiper of Yah, Yahudim, Yahuda." It's plural. That's why I said Yahudim, the worshippers of Yah. "For the hour comes, and now it is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such does the Father speak to his worshippers." He's looking for a specific type of person. One that will worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman says to him, "I know the Messiah comes, he that is called the Messiah. When he has come, he will declare to us all things." Yahshua says to her, "I that speak to you indeed." And she, of course, as you read the rest of the story, followed. I mean, she became obedient. She made the change that was necessary salvation. The Jews won't do it because they won't accept the name. Christians won't accept the Torah, the law. You got to put these two together. See? And this is what you're looking for. We're looking for the proper perspective. We're looking for people who will take the name of Yahweh seriously. Mark 11, verse 1. You must worship Yahweh to have the proper perspective, brother. And Mark 11, verse 1, it says, "And when they draw near to Jerusalem, to Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, 'Go your way into the village that is over against you, and straightway as you enter into it, you shall find a colt tied, on which no man ever yet sat. Loose him and bring him. And if anyone say to you, why do you this, say the teacher has need of them, and straightway he will send him back here.' And they went away and found a colt tied at the door outside in the open street. And they loosed him, and certain of them that stood there said to them, 'Why are you doing this?' Loosing the colt. And he said to them, 'Even as Yahshua had said,' and they let him go. See, because they respected that power. They knew who Yahshua was. And they bring the coat to Yahshua and cast on him their garment. And he sat upon him, the coat, the foal of an ass. And many spread their garments upon the way and other branches, which they had cut from the field. And they that were before and they that followed cried, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of Yahweh. Blessed is the kingdom that comes, the kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. And he entered in Jerusalem into the temple. And when he had looked all around upon all things, it being now evening, he went out to Bethany with the 12. He made a triumphant entrance to Jerusalem. But Yahshua will not return until the world is saying, blessed is he that comes in the name of Yahweh. The 144,000 will be saying this. They're going to praise and bless Yahweh's name. Yahshua will not return, as I said, until people cry, blessed is he that comes in the name of Yahweh. The 144,000 are going to do this. But see, the world is going to blaspheme his name. I got two scriptures there. Revelation 13, 6. Revelation 13, 6 says, and he opened his mouth to blasphemies against Yahweh, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, even them that dwell in heaven. And the other one is Revelation 16, verses 8 to 11. It's Revelation 16, 8 to 11. And the fourth poured out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to it to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of Yahweh, who has the power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth poured out his bowl upon the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was darkened. And they gnawed their tongues for pain, and they blasphemed the Elohim of heaven because of their pain and their sores, and they repented not of their works. Matthew chapter 23. No, I'm sorry. Luke. Luke chapter 12. Verse 49. We'll read down to 53. And I came to cast fire upon the earth. And what do I desire if it is already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straight until it be accomplished? Do you think that I have come to give peace in the earth? I tell you no, but rather division. For there shall be from now on five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three, and they shall be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against her mother-in-law, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The 144,000 are baptized in fire. They will always choose Yahshua over the world. Matthew 23, verse 1 to 3. The 144,000 follow Yahshua by keeping his commandments. Then spoke Yahshua to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. All things, therefore, whatever they bid you, whatever they teach you, these do and observe. But do you not after their works, for they say and do not. And that's because they were hypocrites. They taught the law of Moses. Okay, we all know that. I'm going to give an example in a few minutes. But they were hypocrites. They bind heavy burdens. They put them on the people. Made them jump through all kinds of hoops. The law of Yahweh is very simple. Yahshua broke it down to two commandments. Love Yahweh with all your heart and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you do this, you'll keep them all. You won't violate the commandment not to kill. Because if you love your neighbor, you won't kill him. Or you won't take his wife or his husband. Or you're not going to lie to one another. Yahshua wants us to keep all of his commandments. Skip one. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. This is in response to the baptism of fire from Luke. Well, the reason I'm doing this, I'm going to 1 Corinthians 7, verses 29 to 34. It's important. We have to understand this. That baptism in fire creates conflict even in our own family. Verse 29, it says, "But this I say, brethren, the time is shortened, and the time is going to be shortened. And if it's not shortened, then no flesh will be saved alive once the tribulation starts. That from here on those who have lives may be as though they had not, and those that weep as though they wept not, and those that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and those that buy as though they possess not, and those that use the world as not using it to the full. For the fashion of this world passes away. But I would have you to be free from cares. He that is unmarried is careful for the things of Yahweh, how he may please Yahweh. But he that is married is careful for the things of the world, how he may please his wife and his divided. And trust me, we are. You know, because we have to provide for our families, our wives, our children. And it doesn't mean you can't serve them with the full focus that you need, but it becomes very difficult. It becomes very difficult, but if you have the proper perspective, if you have Yahweh first in everything you do, everything else will be added to you. Now, that means each and every person has to have an understanding. Some of us are not as understanding as others, see, in our devotion to Yahweh. Says that he that is married is divided. So also the woman that is unmarried and the virgin is careful for the things of Yahweh, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. But she that is married is careful for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. So that's there. That's always going to be there. That's something that we have to be concerned about. Matthew 19. And Matthew 19 is in response to Matthew 23:1, what I read about the commandments. Matthew 19:16 says, "And behold, one came to him and said, Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said to him, Why do you ask concerning that which is good? One there is who is good." He's talking about Yahweh. "But if you would enter into life, keep the commandments." He says to him, "Which?" And Yahshua says, "You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man says to him, "All these things have I observed. What do I yet lack?" Yahshua said to him, "If you would be perfect," and she keeping all the commandments, "if you would be perfect, go, sell that which you have, and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But when the young man heard the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he was one that had great possessions. He had a lot of earthly wealth. And see, he was attached to it. And that becomes difficult for us. But the proper perspective, you won't attach yourself to material possessions. Your house, your cars, your bank accounts won't come between you and Yahweh. But see, most people have a weakness in that area. That's why he says it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. Because it's going to be hard for him to separate himself from that wealth. And you know, the thing is, it's not important. It's truly not important. If they have the key, which is love, for their fellow man, they'll see that it's not important. They can give it away. They can get rid of it. Matthew 24. Having the proper perspective, brother. Yahshua went out from the temple and was going on his way. And his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. But he answered and said to them, do you not see all these things? Truly, I say to you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And it was fulfilled in 70 common years. The Romans came and took the temple apart. And truly, that prophecy was fulfilled. In verse 3, and as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming and the consummation of the age, the end of the age? And Yahshua answered and said to them, take heed that no man leads you astray, for many shall come in my name. That's important. He said, my name. That's why it's important to know Yahshua's name. Say, I am the Messiah, and shall lead many astray. And I'm telling you, it's going on daily. I'm dealing with some of it right now. There's some people who are believing this lunar Sabbath foolishness. And they're coming in the name of Yahshua with all kinds of doctrines. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you are not troubled. Don't let it upset you. Don't let it get to you. For these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. The nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and earthquakes in various places. But all these things are the beginning of travail. Then shall they deliver you up to tribulation, and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many stumble, and shall deliver up one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall lead many astray. And because lawlessness shall be multiplied. And what's lawlessness, brethren? Lawlessness is the violation of the commandments. The love of the many shall grow cold. I'm going to tell you now, if you're keeping the commandments, your love is not going to grow cold, regardless of what you're going through. When Yahshua was placed on that tree, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He didn't hate them for what they were doing. He understood that they didn't know. And when most people are in sin, and I tell this all the time, whether I'm counseling or whatever, they are blinded to what's going on. They don't see what they're doing. It's like a person that's heavily taken away on drugs. They cannot see. Get that next step. They don't understand the hurt that they're putting on their family or their people. The same thing with the gambling addiction. People out there think they're doing it. They just don't see it. When David, King David, sinned with Bathsheba, somebody else's wife, what did he do? He tried to cover it up. even had her husband killed. Did he see what he was doing? He knew the law. All the kings of Israel had to write the Torah. They had to write it. So they knew it. And when Nathan came to him, he said, and presented it to him, David's judgment of what's supposed to happen to that man. And Nathan said, you are the man. And David's eyes were open, and he saw. He wrote Psalm 51, asked Yahweh not to take his Holy Spirit away. But the Holy Spirit can't reside in sinners. See, Yahweh doesn't hear sinners. He hears repentant sinners. There's a difference. We have to be repentant. 144,000 see from the proper perspective, and they are repentant sinners. The righteous man falls 7 times and rises yet again. Because we're not perfect. None of us are perfect. I was telling in another message a while back, and I believe it was Creflo Dollar was talking about Eddie Long. Eddie Long had fallen, his sin. And I got something on Facebook from one of my Facebook friends, who's Messianic, and they were really coming down on Creflo Dollar and easy preachers, as they call them. And everything Creflo Dollar said was right. He didn't say anything wrong. He said, my brother had a wreck, you know, and he was telling the people that were coming over to his services, go back. Don't abandon him. The man's been there for you. You go back. You support him, okay? And see, this is what happens. You know, people are quick to point the finger. If you fall, if you have a problem in your life, you know, they're constantly pointing the finger. And it is difficult to be a leader. Because everybody's looking at you, but you know what? If you do what's right, Yahweh's going to bless you. If you fall, Yahshua's blood is going to cover you. And that's what it's about. And see, when we have problems in our ministry, and one of the elders has an issue or a problem, we're supposed to lift them up in prayer. The 144,000 have the proper perspective. We look out for one another. We raise each other up in prayer. We pray for each and every one of you. That's why we have the prayer list. We read the prayer list today. There are people on our prayer list that are not in our faith. There are people on our prayer list that don't know God. But we're praying for these people because they have an issue. And one of the issues that we want them to see is Yahweh open their eyes so that they can see the truth and that they can come to Him. It's very difficult for most people who are walking in sin, who are on drugs or an alcoholic or whatever, to get out of that until their eyes are open. I don't care what you do, you can send them to rehab after rehab after rehab, and they won't come out any better than they went in. Okay? Because if you're an alcoholic and you go through it, you come out and you drink again, you could still be an alcoholic. You got to stop. That's what you got to do. And that's what we ask people to do. With the proper perspective, you can overcome any sin. You can overcome any burden that has been placed upon you. Satan does. Okay? All you have to do is ask. All you have to do is come to Yahshua. When you come to Yahshua, He's going to lift those burdens from you because He's going to give you the proper perspective so that you can see the things that are before you. I'm going to continue in Matthew 24. In verse 11 again, it says, and many false prophets shall arise and shall lead many astray. And because lawlessness shall be multiplied, the love of many shall grow cold. Now, the love, again, of Yahweh's people is not going to grow cold because they understand. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And these good tidings of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a testimony to all the nations. And then shall the end come. So that's when it's going to happen after this testimony has been preached to all the nations. In verse 15 it says, then therefore you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place. Let him that reads understand. Then let them that are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them that are on the housetop not go down to take out the things that are in the house. And let him that is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that get stuck in those days. And pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on a Sabbath. For then shall be great tribulation. And we're talking about that 3.5 year tribulation. Such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days have been shortened, no flesh would have been saved. But for the elect saints, these are the 144,000 that have the proper perspective, the elect. Those days shall be short. Then if any man shall say, ye lo, here is the Messiah, or here, believe it not. For there shall arise false messiahs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. But it says, if possible. And brethren, it's not possible. Because the elect know their Messiah. They know Yahweh, whom they serve. Behold, I have told you beforehand, if therefore they shall say to you, behold, he is in the wilderness, go not forth. He is in the inner chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning comes forth from the east, that is seen even to the west, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. But immediately, after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send forth his angels with the sound of the great trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect, that 144,000, from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, the reason I read that is I know that a lot of groups teach a rapture, and that these people would be taken away before, but this is telling you that this is after the tribulation. So where were they during the tribulation? Zephaniah tells you that they're hidden of Yahweh. That's what his name means, hidden of Yahweh. 144,000 are going to be hidden. They're going to be protected. And some of us will give our lives as martyrs because the scriptures teach that. We're going to look at that in a few minutes. Matter of fact, turn over to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. Says, and at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince. The term Michael, Michael in Hebrew, means who is like El. There's only one Michael, that's Yahshua, the son, who stands over the children of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, to the same time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one shall be found written in the book, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that are wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But you, O Daniel, shut up the word and seal the book even till the time of the end, and many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And truly it has been in these last days. Knowledge has been increased. The 144,000 shall be delivered because their names are found in the book of life. Daniel chapter 3. This is a rather long passage. It's about the beast system. But I'm going to skip through it. But most of us know about the three Hebrew children. They call them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But they have Hebrew names. Their names are changed. But in verse 1, it says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the width of it 6 cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent, gathered together the satraps. These are the leaders, the deputies, and the governors, and the judges, and the treasurers, and the counselors, and the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And what he did is he said, when you hear the sound of all this music, you got to fall down and worship this image. In verse 8 it says, therefore, at the time, certain Chaldeans came near and brought accusation against the Jews, the worshippers of Yahweh. That's what that term means, remember. They answered and said to Nebuchadnezzar, King, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon. So they were leaders, Daniel as well as the three Hebrew children. And it says, they serve not your Elohim, your mighty one, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. And we can't, because of idolatry. And we know what Yahweh is doing. Yahweh is he's the mighty one. He's invisible. We don't need to see him. He tells us not to rear up an image in heaven, on earth, or below the earth. And we have some people who are presently involved in idolatry, you know. And we're trying to get them to see it. But like I said, when people are walking, it's hard for them to see it when they're walking in sin. The 144,000 are going to reign on the earth. We're going to see that. It says, Yahweh alone can deliver his people from whatever condition we find ourselves in. We just got to be faithful. So whatever comes upon us, the scripture shows us that. Revelation 13. You know what happened in Daniel 3. They were thrown into the fiery furnace. They survived. We're going to be tried by fire, brother. We're going to be tried by a lot of fire. In Revelation 13, it says, and he stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns 10 diadems. And upon his head the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power. And we know from Revelation 12 that the dragon is Satan the devil. And his throne and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as though it had been struck to death. And his death stroke was healed. And the whole earth wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon. See, the world's going to worship this beast. Because that's where they're going to get their sustenance. We're going to go into a period of time during that tribulation where no one, as it says in the passage, will be able to buy or sell unless they have the mark of the beast. But when you have the proper perspective, which the 144,000 will have, they're not going to be worried. Yahweh Yireh, he provides. He's our provider. He's going to make sure we have the things that we need. It says, who is like the beast, and who is able to war with him? And there was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy, and there was given to him authority to continue 42 months, 3.5 years. And we read verse 6 about his blasphemy. Verse 7, it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Satan can't do anything to you unless Yahweh allows it. You understand? And there's a reason that he may allow you to be tested and tried, so that you can be pure. So you can come through that fire of testing. And all is well on the earth shall worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of the life of the Lamb that has been killed. If any man has an ear, let him hear. And if any man is for captivity, into captivity he goes. And if any man shall kill with the sword he must be killed. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. The reason that the saints have that patience, the 144,000, because they have the proper perspective. They know what's coming because Yahweh has revealed to each and every one of them. Drop down to actually, it's the next verse 11. It says, and I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. And he exercised all authority of the first beast and his sight. And he makes the earth and them that dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose death stroke was healed. And he goes and he does great signs that he should even make fire to fall come down out of heaven upon the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives them that dwell on the earth by reason of the signs. So are we going to be deceived because we see signs from the beast? No. Because the elect know they're going to do exploits. Saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, who has the stroke of the sword and lived. And we don't make images. We don't follow or worship images as some religions do. And it was given to him to give breath to it. Okay? Even to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as should not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So this thing is going to come alive. This image, this idol of the beast, is going to come alive and cause as many as would not worship it to be killed. And he that causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, and the free and the bond, and there be given to them a mark on the right hand and on their forehead, that no man should be able to buy or sell, except he that has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is the wisdom. He that has understanding, let him count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and his number is 666. Is your name written in the book, brother? We need to know that our name is written in the book of the Lamb. The 144,000 will be there. And the reason they're going to be there is because they have the proper perspective. They know the law of Yahweh. There's a couple more scriptures I'm going to get to, and I'll go over them quickly. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20, verse 1-7 says, and Elohim spoke all these words, saying, I am Yahweh, your Elohim, who has brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other Elohim before me. You shall not make for yourself a graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, Yahweh, the Elohim, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation of those that hate me, and showing mercy to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make long use of the name of Yahweh, the Elohim, for Yahweh will not leave unpunished the man that misuses his name. Now see, as I said, the Jews, they use Hashem. They use Adonai. They don't consider themselves misusing Yahweh's name, yet they do, because they don't get glory to it. They say it's too sacred to them, but it's not true. Leviticus 19, 1 to 4. The 144,000 understand the sanctity of Yahweh's name, but they don't misuse it. Yet it's misused in the world. That's another reason the Jews have a problem with people knowing, because they feel the Gentiles will misuse it. And Leviticus 19, it says, Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, Yahweh, your Elohim, am holy. Every man of you shall fear his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbath. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. Turn not to idols, nor make to yourself molten Elohim. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. And we're not supposed to make for ourselves idols. We're supposed to keep the Sabbath, and we're supposed to honor our father and mother. That's very important. That's one of the Ten Commandments. But how many people you know that violate this? They don't honor the parents. That's a violation of the Yahweh's covenant. The Jews went into Babylonian captivity because they did not keep the Sabbath. They stopped keeping the sabbatical year. They stopped keeping the holy days, the high Sabbath, and the weekly Sabbath. The 10 northern tribes were taken into captivity, and they lost that identifying mark. The only reason the southern tribes, or the Jews of today, or what they call Judah, understand is because they have not lost the keeping of the Sabbath. That's an identifying mark. The 144,000 have that proper perspective. They keep the Sabbath from sundown Friday to sundown. This new doctrine out here has been going around with the lunar Sabbath. They're going to keep the Sabbath from sun up to sundown. That's not the scripture teaches. We're not going to violate Yahweh's command by taking parts of it, picking and choosing what we will eat. In Daniel chapter 5, Daniel chapter 12, verse 5. Daniel 12, 5. It says, then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, and there stood other two, the one on the brink of the river on this side, and the other on the brink of the river on that side. And one said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the water of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him that lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half, 3.5 years. When they had made an end of breaking in pieces the power of the holy people. And all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, oh, my superior, what shall be the issue of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall purify and be refined. I mean, purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But they that are wise, 144,000, shall understand. And from the time that the continual burnt offering shall be taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But go your way to the end, for you shall rest and shall stand in your lot at the end of the day. In other words, Daniel is placed in a position. He's going to be there when that 144,000 who have the proper perspective, those that have to be raised from the dead before those who are still on the earth are raised to meet Yahshua in the air when Yahshua returns. The 144,000 are wise, and they do understand what must be accomplished in the last days. Revelation 5. That's two scriptures. Revelation 5, verse 9 and 10. It says, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the book and to open the seals of it, for you were killed and did purchase the Yahweh with your blood of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and made them to be for our Elohim a kingdom of priests, and they reign upon the earth. The 144,000 will reign on the earth, not in heaven. Our final scripture is Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12. We're going to start in verse 1. And a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman arrayed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, travailing in birth, and in pain to be delivered. And there was seen another sign in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head 7 diadems, and his tail draws the 3rd part of the stars of heaven, the angels, and did cast them to earth. And the dragon stands before the woman that is about to be delivered, and when she is delivered, that he may devour her child. And she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who is to rule all the nations with the rod of iron. And her child is caught away to Elohim and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of Elohim, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days, 3.5 years, brother. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon. And the dragon warred and his angels, and they prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. The great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, he that is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, now is come salvation. The salvation and the power and the kingdom of our Elohim and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuses them before our Elohim day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb 144,000 are overcoming because of the blood of the Lamb. They have the proper perspective. So they overcome Satan, the devil, and the second death has no power over them because of the blood of the Lamb. And because of the word of their testimony, and they love not their life even to death. Therefore rejoice, O heaven, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the earth, for the sea, because the devil is gone down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he has but a short time. But when you are in tribulation, when you're worried about what's going on, why are you having this problem, that problem, know that you're in tribulation because of what Satan the devil is doing. But also know that the scriptures teach that many are the affliction of the righteous, and Yahweh delivers you out of each and every one of them. It doesn't matter what you're going through, brother. Yahweh is there to deliver you out of each and every one of your tribulations. But the great tribulation is coming upon this earth very soon. Very soon. Verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child. And that's Israel. And there was given to the woman the two wings of the great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half time, 3.5 years from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth after the woman water as a river, that he might cause her to be carried away by the stream. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the river, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon became exceedingly angry with the woman. So Satan the devil is exceedingly angry at you, brethren, that are a part of the 144,000, because you have the proper perspective, because you are trying to keep the covenant, and because you're trying to live a holy life. And he went away to make war with the remnant of her seed that keep the commandments of Yahweh and hold his testimony of Yahshua. If we're keeping the covenant, brother, if we're keeping the covenant of Yahweh, he's going to grant us the proper perspective. And we will be able to see spiritually the things that are about to come upon this earth, this world. We will be like the three Hebrew children who would not bow down to the image of Nebuchadnezzar or bow to the beast, the image of the beast that's going to come upon this world. We will overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb. Yahshua, our Messiah. The 144,000 are the elect of Yahweh. They keep the commandments of Yahweh and hold the testimony of Yahshua, as it says in Revelation 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. They that keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yahshua. May Almighty Yahweh bless you as you keep the proper perspective. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother Winston if he would close with a word of prayer.
Almighty Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you this Sabbath day, Father, for just being able to be here to hear this wonderful message. I pray that it makes us all wise unto salvation, that we'll be dedicated just like some of these men that Greg quoted in the scriptures. Our lives would be example to others, because we've got to take on their type of faith that they had in Yahweh to deliver them. This was a great message, and I really love it and thank Greg for it, and pray that you'd be with each one of us the rest of this Sabbath day. And again, Father, we ask that you'd remember all those on the prayer list and forget them not, because we never do. And that you just help us each day, Father, to grow in grace and truth and wisdom and knowledge of your great holy word and that we love so much. And that you'd keep guiding and lead us throughout this week. And it's in Master Yahshua's holy name that I ask this prayer and say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.